Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest and I've felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Don't prepare to play one of America's fastest growing game sensations despite the stinger you just heard. Why? Because we're not going to share a slew of stories and have Jimmy act as your federal head, your representative, what he determines. That's what you believe, too. No, that's my job. The point is, we're not going to do that this time. Instead, we're simply going to share a number of stories about judging, starting with Jimmy. Are you ready, dude? Because I got a funny feeling it's going to be a Donnybrook the next couple of days around here. We actually recorded yesterday's conversation about Chad Wright, the Navy SEAL on the Joe Rogan program. I had one take, all positive. He was not invited onto that program to talk theology, but he did. And he did a bang up job. I was simply focusing on a presentation of the gospel and that it must be complete with all of the necessary details. I thought there could have been more of those. Jimmy, you disagreed. And so we filmed it. Now it's going to be on the YouTube machine.
Yeah, be nice to me.
And the proof will be in the comments. Although, you know, we got to cut Jimmy a little slack. He was just a little bit on the blurry side yesterday. Drove home from Tennessee on Sunday, did you?
Monday morning?
Yeah, Sunday night, Monday morning.
Yeah, I did.
Did you wait until like 1 a.m?
I did. Well, just in case I get a chance to see another deer.
Well, there's that. Say hello to another dead Bambi. But why didn't you leave at like 10 o'clock at night or something?
Well, I don't know. I tried to get some sleep before I left.
Ah.
And
That's like you just asked yourself to get jet lag.
Yeah, I know.
It's just going to goof you up for the next several days. You know that, don't you?
I do.
So have mercy on Jimmy. If you watch the YouTube video, our discussion, you be the judge.
Just
be
comment
nice to Jimmy.
Just comment. Jimmy's right.
And speaking of judging and specifically judging gospel presentations, I mentioned that I'd received a gospel track someplace. I think I was in Greenville. By the way, I received a couple of them. Greenville seems to be an evangelist town. They're just a number of them there. And one of the cards that I got was really good. It had bad news and then good news on the other side. And it explained why the bad news is bad. Because sin ain't no big whoop unless God is holy. Unless God exists and he's fully righteous, then boys will be boys. But this gospel tract made it clear. Law is scary because God is holy and because God is good, because he loves righteousness and he will make sure that justice is administered to everyone. And that gospel tract did a bang up job. And then I got this one. It's a cartoon. So apparently, I don't know who it's trying to reach exactly, but I think a younger demo. So on the front, it's got some guy and he's dunking a basketball. And then there's another guy getting onto a bus with a girl wearing a green hat. I don't know. But it says, be a winner. Now you'll just have to imagine the cartoons. I forgot about this part. Can you see that through the camera there?
Not very well. Oh, it says Jimmy. Hey.
You're the character. Oh, man. You might be taking a beating here. So some guy approaches Jimmy, who's kind of in the corner, curled up in a fetal position. Who? Jimmy. Uncle John. Whatever happened to you, Jimmy? Wow, this is prophetic. I ask this all the time.
Yes, you do.
You've been a winner all through high school. You've got the promise of a college scholarship waiting for you.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. The same thing that happens to... Then Jimmy responds to what happened to him. Oh, boy. The same thing that happens to so many teenagers, Uncle John. Alcohol, drugs, and then it's got a picture of porn with triple X. I wonder if that ministry is still around. Do you remember that trend? Triple X ministry?
No.
It was... I can't remember. I'm sorry. I'm having a moment all by myself, which happens frequently. You were just initiated into one of them. I remember this was a ministry, and they would bring a guy who was a porn person into churches. And if I recall, they never really got to the gospel either. And speaking of porn, good news. About 700, just short of 700 people will be receiving their cards that they ordered for free at Fortis Institute, where they can go to the campus and hand them out so that young men can go to a website. It's got a QR code on it, and they are going to see, hear, or read a really helpful presentation on how to have victory over the sin of pornography. Frankly, to have victory over any sin. Which, as long as I'm having a moment, may I go back to Sunday school at Alpharetta Bible Church? Eric was teaching. If you've ever wondered what George Whitfield sounds like, he's been reincarnated at our church. Not that we believe in reincarnation. The point, and he's got to be 5'8", 5'10". He opens up his mouth and it fills all of Alpharetta, not just the church, the whole town. And he was talking about idolatry. And he was bringing such great insights from Exodus chapter 32. But to understand Exodus 32, you got to go back to Exodus chapter 20, where Moses is given the law, not on tablets. He comes down and he announces them, I think in 24. And what do the Jewish people say to Moses? We'll do it all. We'll keep all them laws. He goes back up onto the mountain. I don't know how many days he was there when the Jewish people decided, well, maybe not all of them. And they decided, we want a golden calf, which Aaron was willing to accommodate. Moses comes down the mountain and he asks Aaron what happened. And Aaron, of course, gives him the very credible story that he threw some gold into a fire and boink, this popped out. Why? Well, you know, the people that God gave to us, they're really stubborn and awful, don't you know? So what was he doing? He was passing the buck. What was the idol? Well, it was anything but God. And that's what we discussed. An idol is anything you desire that isn't God. And I should say, anything you desire more than God that isn't God. And that can be more than just tangible stuff and the obvious things like vacations and promotions. It can be prestige. It can be affirmation. It can be getting a lot of attaboys. It can be compliments. It can be so many heart things because, you know, them hearts are idol factories. That's what idolatry is. It's desiring something more than God. And that is what Play the Man is about. The booklet, the QR code that almost 700 people are distributing. They're going to go out in the mail, I believe, by the end of this week. So hang in there for them. I think they're going out media mail. It's slightly cheaper. So you'll get it when the United States Post Office determines you're supposed to get it. Before I get back to the gospel tract about Jimmy, wow, was this ever great stuff in Sunday school. Do you remember what Moses did when he saw the Jewish people celebrating and worshiping the golden calf? He said, I'm going to go back up the mountain. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sins. And what did God say? No. Why? Because a sinful man cannot atone for the sins of sinful men. You need a spotless Savior. And in that regard, again, Moses is a Christ type. He's a fuzzy picture of Jesus Christ. But typically, in fact, I think I wrote about this in Judge Not, which is on sale right now at FortisInstitute.org because we're closing the store. And by the way, in case we don't have enough excursuses here, the reason we're closing the store, some people sent in emails, why are you closing the store? Does that mean you're going out of business? No, it's the opposite. It's because of the support of gospel partners. We desire to give everything away so that we can reach even more people. In Judge Not, I talk about Moses being a Christ type in that he leads them out of bondage, physical bondage from the promised land to the promised land. Jesus takes us out of spiritual bondage, leads us into the real promised land. The promised land of Israel being just a type of the true promised land when Jesus descends with a shout. But this teaching on Sunday morning, Moses is a Christ type who wanted to atone for the sins of his brothers and sisters, but he couldn't because he's a lesser than the real substance of Jesus Christ. Moses couldn't atone for anybody's sins. He couldn't even atone for his own sins. And so what do we see in Exodus 32? We see a picture of Jesus Christ and our need for the perfect Lamb of God, which needs to be explained rightly so that sinners can understand it. We'll see if this gospel tract finally does just that. Next on Wretched Radio.
Marriage and parenting, beautiful gifts from God, but let's be honest, they're not easy. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're wondering if you're doing it right, listen, you're not alone. And more importantly, there's hope. Pastor Brad Bigney understands these challenges. With 36 years of biblical counseling experience and over 3 decades of shepherding his church, he brings you God's timeless wisdom each and every week on Thrive.
To be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God.
And this isn't just another how-to show. Pastor Brad Bigney and Thrive reveals the truth about your marriage. It's a living picture of Christ's relationship with his church. And your parenting, it's a divine calling to disciple the next generation. As Pastor Brad says, your home wasn't designed to just survive. God created it to thrive. Find Thrive with Brad Bigney right now at FortisPlus.org or all major podcast platforms.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at FortisInstitute.org/lies. That's FortisInstitute.org/lies.
Important dates in Christian history. 385 AD. In Milan, Bishop Ambrose defies the Empress. This event helped to establish the precedent of the church confronting the state when necessary to protect Christian teaching and oppose injustice and corruption in government. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't you worry. You're in good hands. Just leave the driving to us. We will get to our destination.
What is this, Allstate?
Eventually. Hey, hey, pastors plagiarize all the time. Don't judge me, please. This is Wretched Radio. Speaking of plagiarizing, was reading a treatment on AI and pastors when it comes to preaching. And I know what you're thinking right now. Friel, are you going to get back to that gospel tract? Yes, eventually. Just leave the driving to us. This fellow didn't like pastors using it at all, for no purposes whatsoever. And it raises a question, and I'm going to noodle it, because he cited an example of what a pastor loses when he leans on AI. So one of the examples that he gave was that a pastor, he's looking for a story, or he's looking for something particular in somebody's commentary set. He remembers reading, it was in Millard Erickson's comment, Systematic Theology, and he wants to go find it. Well, that book is like 700 page. Sorry. That book is so boring. I fell asleep just mentioning the title. He wants to go find something in the book, and it's going to take, he doesn't know where it is. And he could then put on the AI machine and simply ask it the question, and boom, he finds it right away. And look at what he's lost. All of that paging through that systematic theology book that could grow him and edify him. And he used that as a demonstration to say, that's why a pastor shouldn't use AI at all. Got to be careful, because I think we need some rules for sure with the AI machine. I'm not sure that is necessarily robbing a pastor of spiritual growth if he's going to use something because it's just more efficient instead of paging through a 700-page book to look for one illustration or anecdote, whatever it was that he was looking for. Now, there's no anecdotes. There's no illustrations in Millard's book. He's saving a ton of time, but he doesn't have to read through and wade through a bunch of stuff. Now, does that mean that he's not going to grow? And the answer is, it depends on what he's doing to grow himself. If he is reading stuff, if he is furthering his education, if he is spending time studying, and he uses the AI machine simply because it could potentially save him hours of research that he doesn't have, I'm not sure that's necessarily a problem. But if the guy is neglecting his growth, he's not furthering his knowledge of the Word of God, then I would say, yeah, then I think that guy is right. You're missing out, because one of the things that studying for a sermon does is grow the pastor. And you want that growth. Jimmy, do you think the guy has about that you can never use it to like expedite so you don't have to read a monstrous amount of material or glean through 75 different websites?
No, I see both sides of it.
I do too.
So I don't think he's completely wrong. Right. Because if you save time, you save time. But if you spend that time, it's not wasted time.
Right.
So,
but having said that, it could be just looking through. All right. So I've got a decision to make. It's going to take me 3 hours to find what I'm looking for with Millard Erickson. All right. I use AI. It takes 8 seconds, mm-hmm. if that. So I've just saved, let's just say, almost 3 hours. But let's say that the three hours that I didn't spend doing that, I'm using on focused study. I'm diving into a particular subject as opposed to, you know, paging through. Now I'm in pneumatology. Now I'm in ecclesiology. I'm looking for, where's that? I think it was related. It had something to do with Caiaphas, I think. Well, I can put Millard Erickson, Systematic Theology, Caiaphas. Boom, there it is. Okay. Did I get robbed of something? Yes, but only if I'm not using the time saved to further my knowledge. Now, it doesn't have to be an exact quid pro quo, but the point is I could do more efficient studying on a particular subject. Like, for instance, this Sunday's sermon. Jimmy, you're going to love this. Now, this is just going to make up for you. delightfully and with glee calling me Topical Todd because one sermon was kind of close to topical, even though I'm still going to defend it because I preached the actual passage the week before. It was a two-parter. This should make you happy. This week's sermon that's coming up on Sunday is a sermon on, guess what passage of scripture it's on in Matthew. Wrong. It's not on a passage.
Just on one verse?
One word.
One word.
One word, baby.
That is the extreme opposite.
I know it is. But we're going to do it if it kills all of us. It's going to be a focus on one word. Not going to tell you what that word is, but I'm doing a deep dive. Here's a hint on the theme of Matthew. Now, don't normally do that. In fact, I probably bite off bigger chunks than most preachers do because of my philosophy of preaching and context and flow and the narrative and the power of the arc of the argument. But this week, it's like, well, there it is. If we can't spend a week talking about this one word, then we're missing the boat. Now, I sit and study that pointedly for several hours. No, that's certainly not, that's really good time used. Do I really need to spend 3 more hours flipping through Millard to try to find something on Caiaphas? You be the judge, Pastor, but whatever you determine, make sure you've got some rules, because I think it could be really easy to slip down the slide and find yourself leaning on it fully. And then it's a really big problem for these guys that are just, all right, I've got to preach this week on Caiaphas. Go. And then it rips. It'll do that. It will do that. You can do a word study. You can do historical study. You could cheat your way through every Sunday morning if you're not careful. So, Pastor, be careful. And if I would stop interrupting myself, we'll finally get back to this Be a Winner track, and you be the judge. If this is a good gospel tract, be a winner, it says. So Uncle John is talking to Jimmy, who's huddled up in a corner looking pretty sad because he admits that he's doing drugs and he's drinking and he's watching pornography. And then he says, I'm addicted, hooked. Uncle John says, you're only 16 and already trapped by sin. And then he says, sin will never let you free except by Christ's power. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he quotes 1 Peter 3:18. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and he rose again the third day. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Quoting 1 Peter 3:18. Flip it over. You must repent, turn from your sins unto God by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Pray honestly, asking the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal savior from sin. Okay, question.
What's your question? I'm sorry.
Are you a prophet, Simon?
I didn't know my mic was on.
Are you a sorcerer? All right, what? You didn't know your mic was on? Yeah, sure. All right, what's the matter with this thing? What was with the
It was just no mention of God and the effects of sin.
Right?
I mean, all we're talking about is the fruit of it, or
well, the rotten fruit. What you mean, the effect? It does show the effects of sin on a horizontal level, but nothing about the vertical and nothing right about the eternal.
That's right.
So this type of presentation is, hey, I'm hooked on drugs, porn, and alcohol. That's what it said. I'm addicted, hooked. And that's sin, apparently. Doesn't explain why or what is the power behind that proclamation. But to be delivered then from sin means to be delivered from your addiction. And that's not the gospel.
God will make your life better.
You are going, that it is, it really is a life enhancement gospel. Yep. And it just doesn't make sense. And this is why we need to be, and please note, you could listen to a Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio, and you could chalk talk me and go, hey, you kind of forgot, you missed that part. And I would say, you're right. It's easy to do, especially when you're witnessing to somebody, especially when you're on the Joe Rogan show. It's easy to miss that stuff. And so I don't, I don't blame people for leaving out details because we just assume everybody knows what we already know. But they don't. And when we do, it's not a coherent gospel presentation. It's simply deficient. So the drum that I'm banging is for all of us, myself included, to be mindful of the deets. If you do not share that sin is lawlessness, what do you do with lawless people? You send them to trial, you find them guilty, and you punish them. Bingo! And this gospel tract, like so many of our gospel presentations, are simply lacking the information that is necessary for somebody to go, I get it. Doesn't mean they're going to get saved. It means at least we present it in a way that is biblical and it makes sense. If you'd like to be a judge, go watch the YouTube video of me and Jimmy batting it around and discuss this. Is Wretched Radio.